Morning, church. Heavenly Father, we thank you just for reassuring your love to us this morning, God. We thank you for the safety of your love this morning. Thank you for speaking to us today, Lord Jesus. And I pray, Father, that as I speak of your goodness, I testify of your love, that every heart would hear in Jesus' name. Amen. Good. So, what an incredible time in worship. And this morning, God's been speaking clearly about each of us being called to hear the Lord and his desire for us to hear his will for us and his love for us as his children. So Catherine and I have been on a little bit of a journey over the last 6 months, and I really just wanted to share something of a testimony to you, and I'm trusting this morning that as I share my testimony, I hope that some of you would identify, and importantly that you would hear and see what God has done in our lives and take courage and encouragement. So about 6 months ago, I'm going to follow notes just so that I can kind of stick to the sequence of events. Otherwise, I get lost. But around about 6 months ago, I started to get quite unsettled in my heart and in my mind. Being a father of two beautiful boys and a husband of a beautiful wife, for the first time, I started to wonder, is this where I want to raise my children? Is this where God has called us as a family to live in South Africa? There were lots of influences going on. It's gone quiet. So this is the reality of where we were at. I popped my head up and I started to look around a little bit. And I started to think, yo, I'm unsettled. There were a number of other influences that were happening at the time, and I want to touch on them just quickly with you to give you a little bit of a picture of kind of what was going on in our lives, which were kind of influences or voices that were speaking to us, right? So at that time, one of the things that really popped up was stranger danger. We've got a 6-year-old boy and we've got a 4-year-old boy. I would drive Leave out to school, and whilst driving him, he starts telling me what he's going to do to a stranger if he tries to steal him. And he's got his thing sorted out. He knows what he's going to have to do if this happens to him. Putting him to sleep at night. He starts to put his little toys around him. So what you doing, boy? No, in case somebody tries to steal me at night, I've got my toy with me. Why is my son going through these thoughts? Why is he having to struggle through these things? We unfortunately got broken into, and we got a phone call from the lady that looks after my children and our home to say somebody's in our house. It was a panic for us. I raced home. Thankfully, the person fled and didn't attack my child and Chennai. My sister-in-law, who lives in KwaZulu-Natal, decided to go to New Zealand. So her and her family are on their way to New Zealand. So I started to think, maybe we could go as a family if this thing's going to, I don't know, where are we going? What? So I started to become very double-minded and unsettled. The scripture says that a double-minded man is actually unstable in all his ways. And quickly, my heart started to become angry. Quickly, my heart started to become bitter. And quickly, my heart started to actually close to those around us. And I didn't realize it at the time. Catherine pointed out to me my anger and my bitterness. She said, love, watch that thing. I had a few other incidences that happened, which I'm not going to get into all the details. But it was reason for me to start to get a little bit back-footed. Is this where God wants us? And is this where I can see my family growing up? I also know that my heart started to close in relationships. And I've seen that with the community that we're a part of. I quickly actually started to take a back seat, thinking we're probably going to go here. I don't know if we're going to be around for long. And these are like almost subconscious things that are happening. And I didn't realize it at the time. I only realized it later. And obviously in this time, I started to pray a lot. God, can you direct us? God, what is your will for us as a family? And this morning, we've had the wonderful privilege of seeing people hearing the voice of the Lord. And God speaks to us. He's a living God. And I know that I've also learned to hear the voice of God. So I started to pray, Lord, do you want us to stay? Do you want us to go? What do we do? And Catherine and I prayed in quiet times together. I walked up and down the beach praying, please, God, speak to me. Have you got that picture? Can you put that picture up? I saw this picture. It was sort of me in that moment. Single Christians after the first date be like, Lord, is this the one? So I knew Catherine was to be my wife. It had nothing to do with that. But I was listening, God, please speak. But I was also very aware that there were a lot of other voices that were speaking. So the voice of reason, you can put that down, thanks. The voice of media. The voice of experience. What was I experiencing in my home? These things were staring at me in the face. There's also the voice of logic. Logically, what do we do? And I was praying, God, what is your will? So I initially kept my thoughts to myself. Sometimes if you speak too soon, people can feed your thoughts if it's an initial thought. I hoped that maybe in time this thing would settle in my heart. It didn't. It just got worse. So it just started to grow. Catherine and I continued to talk things through. And so I started to ask, okay, I'm going to sit down with Ruan. Ruan's part of our team, the guys. And I asked him, would you pray with us? Would you help me in this? So Ruan and I started to talk it through. And Ruan said, what's important for you in this time is that you hear God. I said, yes, thank you. I am trying to hear God. But I'm trusting that you're going to trust with me that I can hear God in this. And man, I struggled. It just wasn't settling. It wasn't going away. So I started to ask myself, okay, well, in these situations, how can I, in the past, how have I heard God? How has He spoken to me? And I know that sometimes in just a quiet time, He's spoken to me. He's spoken to me through the Word. He's spoken to me sometimes through other people. I think the best thing for us right now is I'm going to open this to those that are part of the eldership team. I'm going to come to the leaders of the church and say, guys, we're struggling with this thing. Can you please stand with us in prayer? What are you hearing anything for us? I also met with a good friend of mine, Kim Miller. And also, as we've been a part of the church for many years, I felt that I wanted to share it with Andrew, just as I'm also part of the leadership team. And out of respect, wanted to just say to him, listen, I'm struggling with this thing. The feedback we got is that it's important to hear God in this decision. Yes, I agree with you on that. And also, Ruan had something that there was more to either us staying or going than just us staying or going. And also that the ball was kind of in our court at that time. Some of the guys were not getting a definite yes or a definite no. They were, what is the Lord saying to you now? You're not helping me. So we struggled through that. I eventually started kind of losing faith to stay here. I got to a place where I thought, you know, I think I've got more faith to go than I do to stay. So if there's no red flags or people saying to me, I feel God saying this, I think we're going to go. Now that was a very, very difficult decision. It wasn't just a... And I knew the pain that it would also, the cost that it would cost us to make that thing happen. And my good wife being who she was, we had an elders camp coming up. So we had been to the immigration services, we went to the guys, they interviewed us. I wanted to know, is it possible for us to go before I wrestle this thing through anyway? So I went, they interviewed us, looked at our stuff, yes, we think we'll be able to get you guys in. Okay, so that is something for us to even wrestle through. So anyway, Catherine said, listen, love, just wait until we've gone in the elders' camp in case. We had given it the full month of December. So in November, I said to the team, guys, I've been back-footed, I've been double-minded here, I didn't say that, actually, that's what I was thinking. But I said to the guys, come end of December, I want to make a decision. January, I know that I can't be unsettled. We've got to make a call and move in faith, right? So anyway, December came, December went, and come January, okay, I'm going to make a call here. Hannes sent me a message. He's continued to pray. He's just feeling to remind me, I need to hear the Lord in it. Thanks, Bree. So, okay. I've decided, okay, let's go. Let's make this thing happen. I've got faith for it. I'm going to go for it. But I didn't sign the contract and I didn't pay the deposit. I waited as my wife asked. And anyway, we went on the elders camp. And while we were on the elders camp, Andrew had also been praying for us. At the time, he wasn't feeling a definite yes or a definite no. But then we went on camp, we went and sat with him. And we sat down and Andrew said, I've been praying for you guys. Yeah, thank you. And he said, I feel the Lord saying, no, you mustn't go. Well, that's awkward. So what I haven't told you was after I decided we're going to go, even though I hadn't signed the contract, I started to get our family ready to go. So I relocated our two border collies, found new amazing homes for them. Lots of tears. It was hard, honestly. I phoned my mom and dad. Mom and dad, I've been wrestling for months with this thing. It's really difficult. My mom and dad are in their 70s, and I'm a real mommy's boy. I've got to talk to them every day. And knowing also, I don't know when I'd see them again, being in their 70s. I had to phone them and say, Mom and Dad, I think the best thing for us is we're actually going to leave this country. They were obviously very sad in it. And so the ball had started to roll. And now I'm sitting in front of Andrew and he's saying, I feel the Lord saying no. It's a pause. I've seen a picture for you guys that if you go, you'd get stuck in like an eddy. If you know what an eddy is, it's like it's an offshoot to a river which actually stagnates. It's a place that's going nowhere. It's just a little eddy. Okay. So yeah, I was like, okay, thank you for that. But now in my heart, I had been thinking the whole time, if somebody says to me, you need to hear God, as best as I have right now, I've heard, I'm going to make a call here. I think I've heard God to go. And also knowing that if somebody said, I've heard the Lord that's been praying, part of our team, if anybody came to me to say, I've heard God say, then I'd listen. And so Catherine and I went back to, we were staying on a little farm just outside of Provence. And anyways, we were faced with that decision. Do you trust Andrew or anybody else that has come to share that with you? This is probably one of the most significant decisions I'll ever make in my life. I mean, I've I know that salvation is our most important thing. After that, especially as the head of the home, leading my family, yo, big one. Lord, firstly, Catherine and I have given our lives to Jesus Christ. Firstly, our lives we've committed to Him. And secondly, we've asked people that we trust, can you speak into our lives? Especially when I'm struggling right now to hear. And so we hit the brakes. We decided, okay, I'm hearing you, Lord. Thank you for speaking. And I just want to say that the Lord, His desires is to lead every single one of us. And this morning, we've been pointing to that a lot. That it's for corporate, but it's for individual as well. Every person, God desires to speak His heart to you because He's got a plan for each and every single one of us, okay? So, I didn't ask for my puppies back. I let the people keep them. They went to a farm, actually. One of them went to a farm and the other one to an amazing lady. And there's a scripture that says, all things work together for the good. Two border collies in a small house, not a good idea. So that worked out okay. But we recalibrated. We had to hit the brakes and say, okay, Lord, you've called us to here. And I can honestly say, as I'm standing here today, what a blessing for me to know that the Lord has called us into this country, into this church, into this season that we're in. I'd also told my boss. I also told a very good friend of mine. So I phoned my friend. I said, hey, Lovell, we're staying. He said, what? So I tried to explain to him because he doesn't know the Lord yet, trusting for his salvation. So I said, no, this guy, you heard the Lord, and he's come and shared it with us. And we, okay. He's like, bro, I'm going to buy that guy a six-pack of beers when I come to Cape Town. So I'm like, yeah, thanks. So I also sat down with my boss. I said, look, this is the story. Thankfully, my boss is a believer. And I said to him, it was on the Monday, Wayne, we're not going anywhere. We believe the Lord's called us to be where we are, and we've hit the brakes. So this is also part of the testimony. It's just on the Tuesday, one of the directors of our business, unfortunately, was found out to be stealing from our business. And he was fired with immediate effect. So by the end of the week, and this is now stuff. I'd been offered the opportunity to become managing director of our business. So, I was a bit on the fence about it, and then they offered me basement parking, and I'm like, I'm in. I am not parking down there anymore. Basement, I'm in. And then, man, we've just seen some incredible stuff happening just over the last couple of weeks. I had somebody come into our home that put a kitchen in our home. We obviously paid for it many years ago. I think it was probably about six years ago. When did I went? 2 years ago. Oh, okay. Thanks, love. 2 years ago. Anyway, so the paint had started to fade. And the guy came in, he was talking to me, and he said, hey, your paint's fading. Do you see that? I said, yeah. No, we're going to replace it. We'll put a new kitchen in for you. Thank you. That's awesome. And I know that we've been fighting for probably 2 years. Is that right? On the flooring. And this did happen just before we went away on the camp. But we've had a major problem with our floors. And anyway, the guys came in. And right now, we've got brand new floors, completely free of charge. The guys came and said, look, sorry, we do see the problem. We're going to replace all your floors. So I'm like, okay, Lord. Am I seeing something of a blessing that's going on here? Because maybe because we decided that we want to honor you and we want to please you with the decisions that we've made. And I think it is. I've got the faith that that God has started to open the doors for us. And super excited about that. I'm very, very glad that we didn't rush off to another country. And this morning, I haven't stuck to my notes at all. I've jumped. But you know that the Lord is speaking to every one of us in different situations. Some of you might be wondering if you should be staying in South Africa. Some of you might be struggling with other things in your life, wondering, God, where are you? And He's our Father. He wants to speak to you. He is speaking to you. And sometimes those voices, the other influences, are loud. Be careful of those things. Make sure that you surround yourself with people that are led by God, that you can be accountable with, and sit down and say, guys, guide me in this thing. Proverbs 19 says, many are the plans of a man's heart, but it's the Lord who directs his path. That was a scripture that was just imprinted on my heart when we went on that camp. And I realized that, you know, in this journey, God wants us to dream and to have plans, and He gives us these things to pursue. It's also good to always submit your plans to the Lord. It's vital. God, would you guide me in them? And He's faithful. The Bible says that He will speak to us. If you seek Him, you will find Him. Another little scripture that was just really imprinted on my heart was Romans 8, verse 14. It says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And this morning, there's two things. We are sons of the living God. He has imprinted sonship on us. And we're called to be led by His Spirit. So I really hope, just as a congregation, I want to encourage you guys, continue to build well into relationships that you can trust around you. And know that He will speak to you. Sometimes on your own, sometimes through a scripture, sometimes to somebody else. It's good before you get into those situations to settle your heart that your life is not your own, that you establish Him as the Lord and King of your life, so that sometimes when that conversation happens, this is not the first time I've had somebody say something opposite to what I was thinking, and I've had to, Lord, are you in it? And part of our Christian walk, we've seen incredible fruit of listening to the voice of God in our lives. My story is 8. Mark, you know. Thank you. I'll land that for us.
Just hang here a minute. First of all, I want to say I'm so glad God spoke to you and told you to stay. I think as a congregation, just from a selfish point of view, we're so glad you as a family are with us. But you know, logic and money and comfort and concern for kids can lead us one way. And then the Lord can say, no, go another way. And that doesn't suddenly make it easier. Yeah. It's not like, you know, often I hear people say, oh, I've got such peace about this decision. And I say, is it God then? Because often when God speaks, I lose my peace. Have you noticed? Because he asks us to do things that we're not comfortable with. And I really do believe that Daryl and Catherine are walking in blessing because, not because they've chosen to stay, but because they've chosen to submit themselves to the will of the Lord. But when we read Hebrews 11, you know what's interesting? The whole point of Hebrews 11 is by faith these people obeyed God and they were all obedient. And because they were obedient, for some of them amazing things happened. And they saw people raised from the dead and mighty triumphs and putting and killing giants. And he said, and others by that same faith were sown into destitute, persecuted and afflicted. And what Daryl isn't saying is, listen to God, do what He says and everything will be nice. Yeah. Sometimes it's listen to God and things will still be difficult because we're not living for this life. We're living for the next. And my decision, your job, only lasts for a few years. It'll be gone. Your car will be gone. Your money will be gone. 50 years after you're dead, nobody will remember you. But we've got to live for eternity. And I want to honor this couple, because it's not just Daryl, it's Catherine as well. Maybe even Catherine a little bit more than Daryl, because she said, wait. But as a couple together, they've wrestled this thing through, not because it was easy, but because it was right. And we want to honor you for that and say, well done. And we're glad you're staying. So what do I do when I don't hear God's voice? What happens when I've got a decision and I'm not hearing God? Well, for me, I've learned a simple lesson. Just keep doing what he last told me until he tells me to do something different. That's, for me, always been the safest way. And as I continue to be faithful in the last and obedient in the last thing that he told me, he will make his will known to me. That's his promise to me. And Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice. And we're living in a world and in a generation of people that are increasingly lost and wondering what life is about. Increasingly insecure. That things that they put the faith in don't seem to be so secure anymore. And we're coming up to elections soon, and people are hoping maybe there'll be a change of government. Whichever government's in power, they won't give you security. People are looking for different jobs. That won't give you security. Different nations. Believe me, you can go to Australia, New Zealand, the UK. That won't be your security. Single people, I want a spouse. Believe me. I would be lost without my wife. But I don't find my security in her, and she certainly can't find her security in me. But my sheep, Jesus said, hear my voice. And this morning, maybe you're here, and you're saying, but I don't hear the voice of Jesus. I've got to say this. The first question to ask is, then do I belong to him? Not have I said a prayer, not do I go to church, but do I belong to him? Have I given him permission to be Lord? Have I said to him, I want to hear your voice, and I want to be that one that when you stand at the door and knock, I'm one who will open up. And if you've never surrendered to Jesus and said, my life is yours, tell me what to do with it, this morning is an amazing opportunity for you to do that. And you may be somebody like Daryl who's in that place of not knowing, that place of insecurity, that place of being double-minded this morning, maybe about, am I in the right church? Am I married to the right person? You know, there's a wonderful way of knowing if you're married to the right person. Just look at the name on your marriage certificate. Am I in the right job? Am I in the right house? Am I? And if you're in that place, you know what the best thing to do is? To bring yourself to a place where you're open to hear the voice of God in your life. And you know, sometimes I've sat with people, let's say Barent, it's not happened with Barent, I'll use him, but I've been sat with Barent trying to give him counsel, and he'll be saying, but I've been asking the Lord to speak to me, and he isn't doing it. I'm saying, what do you think I'm doing here now? He sent me to speak to you. Sometimes God speaks through people. Sometimes he speaks through dreams. Sometimes he speaks through prophecy. But I promise you this. I promise you this. If you're willing to hear, he will speak. And when he speaks, we need to respond. And I believe strongly that this morning already, he's been speaking to people here. And the world is full of wise men and foolish men. And according to Jesus, the only difference is the wise man hears his words and puts it into practice. A foolish man hears and then does his own thing. But this morning I want to encourage us to be those who hear and obey. Some of you have heard God, don't like what he's saying, and you're waiting to hear something different. And then you're wondering why he isn't speaking. It's because he's already spoken. Sometimes, some of you are here waiting for God to speak, and he's already spoken in other ways. Reinhard Bonnker uses this picture. He says, when you're driving along the road and you come to a set of robots, and the light's red, you stop. He said, when the light turns green, what do you do? He said, do you write to the traffic department and ask for permission to go? No, the light is green, so you go. And there are certain things that God has already told us to do. We don't need to hear his voice to do them. I don't need to have some amazing revelation to share the gospel with people. He's already told me clearly. I don't need some amazing revelation to love my wife. I don't need some amazing revelation to come to church. Those are things that are set in stone that he's told me. But we need to be a spirit-led people. All who are born of the Spirit are led by the Spirit. And as much as this is Daryl's story, it's not actually just Daryl's story. It's a parable in action for us as a people, that we would be a people who follow the example of our kids this morning and step out of our comfort zones, hear the voice of the Lord, and act on it. And I think often it's useful for us to physically respond and physically do things as an outward sign of what's happening internally, as a kind of first physical, material step of faith. And I want to ask, if you're this here this morning and the Lord has been convicting you, that maybe you've actually not really been the sheep desperate to hear his voice and respond to it. Maybe you've never done it. Maybe you've wandered away. But this morning you're resolving to be somebody who will hear and obey. Won't you just stand with me? Just as a declaration before the Lord. Lord, I want to be a son of God. I want to be an obedient son. I want to sensitize my spirit to hear your voice. And I want to give myself to you so that when I hear, I will respond with obedience. If that's you this morning, if you want to do that, I'm already stood. I can't stand again unless I stand on a chair. But I want to say that to the Lord this morning. I want to say, Lord, your voice has been drowned out in the noise. I'm not hearing you like I should. I'm not pursuing you like I should. Maybe you're here and you're asking him to speak and you're wondering why he isn't speaking, but you're not pushing in, you're not pursuing. You're asking him to bless your plans instead of asking what his plans are for your life. Maybe you're in that place of being double-minded. And I want to dwell in this place. Don't just sit there looking around. Examine your heart. I was once asked the question, what would your life look like if you really lived according to what you believe? If we really look at what we believe about Jesus and what he's called us to do, what would our lives look like if we really lived that way? I have to say, my theology and my life, there's a disconnect. I'm not in massive sin, but Lord, I want my life to reflect you better. I want to give you more attention. I want to give you focus. And then I actually want to act on what you tell me. whether it lead to blessing and promotion, or whether it leads me through the valley of the shadow of death. Even in that place, I will fear not evil, for your rod and your staff will be with me, because you are my shepherd and you lead me. Are we really being led by the Spirit of the Lord? Or are we being led by circumstance, preference, comfort? Lord, I thank you. That you are faithful. Even at times when we are so unfaithful. When we miss it, when you speak and we don't listen. Your mercies are new every morning, and oh God, you are so patient with us. And when we fail you once, twice, three times, however many times we've failed you, how many times will you take us back? Always one more time. And I want to pray for every single person that's responded, whether they're responding in their heart and are too embarrassed to stand, or those who've stood guard, that we would respond well, even as you speak to us this morning. That our hearts would be sensitive to your voice, and we would be quick to respond in obedience to what you ask of us. Whether we've deliberately lived for ourselves or whether we've drifted away from truth, whatever it is, Lord, that you would recalibrate us and bring us back and direct our paths in the way that you want us to go for your glory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Great morning. Thanks, Darrell.